Kelly. Today is a Thursday. It is March 31st, 2016. The low shoe or the flying star number for today is the number one. The victory star, victory for all from the center and throughout the entire Bagua. And there are nine sectors of flying stars. There's an element today. The element today is the watcher. And the animal today is the rat or the mouse. And guess what? They both are from the north direction. In the Bagua, in Feng Shui, the north direction on the compass is represented by water. And the animal that's in the north on the compass is the rat or the mouse. And so this is so great that they're both on the same page today. And we can all feel victorious and on the same page today. So we can just radiate that from the center. Things come from the center, from intention, ease of motion, of intention, and it is directly related to our space and our ease of movement and the ease of the way the wind or water could blow blessings in our physical space. We do this with Feng Shui, and we can practice Feng Shui by practicing finding which animal we are. And that's just practicing Feng Shui right there. If you were to look up your Feng Shui animal, there are some free charts online. Please look up your Feng Shui animal. You are one of 12, and you have a compass direction. Once you find out which animal that you are, that is your animal for life. And that's called practicing Feng Shui. And we practice that also along with the five elements. And we're going to focus today in the show on the animals, the 12 animals. So if you know which animal you are, this is going to be really fun for you. And you're going to have to listen to it in the archives for it to be more fun after you look up your animal. Now, remember to really purposely go to a website and punch your birthday in, specifically if you were born in January or February, because remember, the Feng Shui annual year switches sometimes in late January and sometimes in mid-February. And so if you happen to be a January or even early February born baby, you cannot rely on just the year calendar. You have to actually do a personalized reading and click backwards 1 year, and that's your animal sign, because the year hasn't changed yet. In the Western way, we change on January. In the Eastern way, they don't change until maybe mid-February. So you see why that's really important to get a personalized reading on your animal sign. And we just found out in our family that I think for a little while that people thought I was a dipper wild because my birthday is in January. But guess what? Woof, woof. Yep, I'm a dog. And so that's the way the feng shui winds blew towards me. I'm a January baby, and I'm dog. And my friends, we're going to talk about the astrological feng shui affinities of the 12 animals. And so I have two other friends. Of these 12 animals, there are groups of friends. And that means that the energies are really harmonious and that they can happily and sometimes even effortlessly get things done in one kind of realm or other. And it is a harmonious thing, and it's fun. And it's so fun to practice feng shui if you find out these astrological allies to you. So, for instance, I'm a dog, and so is Pathfinder, by the way. So, whoop, ar, wow, the tiger, and the horse, the noble horse. And those three are friends. So, the dog, the tiger, and the horse. And those three can get things done. And you'll find that they're your friends, that they're your partners, they're members of your family are these. It's so fun to practice feng shui. And here's three more that are real harmonious together. The ox, the snake, and the rooster. Those are three harmonious friends together. Again, the ox, the snake, and the rooster. You guys are friends. Now there's more. There's two more sets. The rabbit, the sheep, and the boar. The boar is also the pig. You are three friends. Again, it's the rabbit, the sheep, and the boar. You guys are harmonious. And then the last set of three friends that make up the 12 is the dragon, the monkey, the rat. And remember, today is the day of the rat. And remember, it is a fire monkey year. Today is a harmonious day for those two. Extra, right? So this is also how we can practice feng shui. It's so fun. And there's one more thing that these animals each have. And it's called, I love this, it's called a secret friend. But we'll talk about those in our next show. But right now, it's time for our feng shui bit tip of the day. And it is, hire a personal trainer if you're really serious. Go ahead, hire that personal trainer and get a real program for yourself. If you're super serious in making some real changes in your lifestyle and physique, then it's really worth hiring a professional. Yes, there are a lot of free things available online. But the key word to that sentence was lots. And it can be overwhelming. You really don't know which one to choose for yourself. There's so many now. And plus, people are saying contradictory things out there. You really have to do your research before you're hooked into a training program online because you want to make sure that it's real. And so if you're new, sometimes you're not really able to see the higher quality ones. So go ahead and hire yourself a personal trainer for a little while. Get one real program. Let them dynamically put you through correctly the moves right there with you. And that is really going to boost up the changes that you are really actively wanting to practice. And it is all in the practice. And you can practice your fitness better with a professional with you. Now, whether you you choose to continue that relationship, and you just might every now and then rehire them every 8 to 10 weeks to revamp your program. If you're a go-getter and a do-it-yourselfer, you can do it like that. You don't need them with you the entire time unless you need the motivation. And if you need the motivation in order to do your program, well, then so be it. That is what is going to do it for you. In the fitness career I had many personal trainers. Believe me, I did not want to do some of these things. It was not my motivation that got them done, but it was the credit of my beautiful personal trainers. Thank you. Mahalo from the bottom of my muscles that are still there. And so build those muscles with professionalism with a personal trainer, and you will have them for the rest of your life. You will know what to do. It is great stuff. I highly recommend it. And if you want a feng shui consultation from Pathfinder and I to figure out your animals, figure out your elements, maybe do some cures and definitely vision on what your dreams are, please contact both of us at pathfinder1111@gmail.com. And right now we have in the Southwest, under a cloudy sky and the blooming cactus and the singing birds, everyone's favorite Pathfinder.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Aloha. Aloha. Blessings and love. Today, we're working with animal friends and plant allies. We're doing a few weeks here of some medical anthropology. Now, what is this? Well, anthropology is the study of humanity. In other words, all the different cultures, whether they're big or small, or became city-states, or became nations, or stayed as tribal groups, or confederacies, or even, there aren't too many hunter-gatherers anymore. That's because the world has really, really changed. And so we've been focusing on on the plants for just a little bit. Now, what is medical anthropology? This is the study of the healing systems and the health beliefs and the medical techniques or the folk techniques that have to do with an individual culture or even shared amongst some cultures. And so today, we've been talking about the purifying plants. We're talking about sage and cedar, and we really haven't talked too much about sweetgrass and tobacco yet. These are four cornerstones of a lot of Native America, whether North or South, and there'll be more stories about this. But today, I want to focus in on the Cherokee origin of disease and medicine, and this was reported by James Mooney, who was an anthropologist or an ethnographer is the word that they use, that came out of the Smithsonian, and he did good work among the Cherokee and others to help record cultural information while it was still viable. He did this early enough in time that he got an actual look and recording of Cherokee culture. And so this is exactly what medical anthropology is about. In the old days, quadrupeds, birds, fishes, and insects could all talk, and they and the human race lived together in peace and friendship. But as time went on, the people increased so rapidly that their settlements spread over the whole earth, and the poor animals found themselves beginning to be cramped for room. This was bad enough, but to add to their misfortunes, man invented bows, knives, blowguns, spears, and hooks, and began to slaughter the larger animals, birds, and fishes for the sake of their flesh or their skins, while the smaller creatures, such as the frogs and worms, were crushed and trodden upon without mercy, out of pure carelessness or contempt. In this state of affairs, the animals resolved to consult upon measures for their common safety. The bears were the first to meet in council in their townhouse of Kuwahi, the mulberry place. And this is near one of the high peaks of the Smokies near Klingman's Dome. And the old white bear chief presided. After each internment had made their complaint against the way in which man killed their friends and devoured their flesh and used their skin for his own adornment, it was unanimously decided to begin war at once against the human race. This is the bears, okay? Someone asked what weapons man used to accomplish their destruction. Bows and arrows, of course, cried all the bears in chorus. And what are they made of was the next question. The bow of wood and the string of our own entrails, replied one of the bears. It was then proposed that they make a bow and some arrows and see if they could not turn man's weapon against himself. So one of the bears got a nice piece of locust wood, and another sacrificed himself for the good of the rest in order to furnish a piece of his entrails for the string. But when everything was ready and the first bear stepped up to make the trial, it was found that in letting the arrow fly after drawing back the bow, his long claws caught the string and spoiled the shot. This was annoying, but another bear suggested that he could overcome this difficulty by cutting his claws, which was accordingly done. And on a second trial, it was found that the arrow went straight to the mark. But here the chief, the old white bear, interposed and said that it was necessary that they should have long claws in order to be able to climb trees. One of us has already died to furnish the bowstring, and if we now cut off our claws, we shall all have to starve together. It is better to trust to the teeth and claws which nature has given us, for it is evident that man's weapons were not intended for us. No one could suggest any better plan, so the old chief dismissed the council, and the bears dispersed to their forest haunts without having concerted any means for preventing the increase of the human race. Had the result of the council been otherwise, we should now be at war with the bears, but as it is, the hunter does not even ask the bear's pardon when he kills one. The deer next held a council under their chief, the little deer, and after some deliberation resolved to inflict rheumatism upon every hunter who should kill one of their number, unless he took care to ask their pardon for the offense. They sent notice of their decision to the nearest settlement of Indians and told them at the same time how to make propitiation, in other words, make it good, when necessity forced them to kill one of the deer tribe. Now, whenever the hunter brings down a deer, the little deer, who is swift as the wind and cannot be wounded, runs quickly up to the spot and, bending over the blood stains, asks the spirit of the deer if it has heard the prayer of the hunter for pardon. If the reply be yes, all is well, and the little deer goes on his way. But if the reply be in the negative, he follows on the trail of the hunter guided by the drops of blood on the ground until he arrives at the cabin in the settlement, when the little deer enters invisibly and strikes the neglectful hunter with rheumatism so that he is rendered on that instant a helpless cripple. Dear nation, no hunter who has regard for his health ever fails to ask pardon of the deer for killing it. Although some have not learned the proper formula, may attempt to turn aside the little deer from his pursuit by building a fire behind them in the trail. Next came the fishes and reptiles, who had their own grievances against humanity. They held a joint council and determined to make their victims dream of snakes, twining about them in slimy folds and blowing their fetid breath in their faces, or so to make them dream of eating raw or decaying fish, so that they would lose appetite, sicken, and die. Thus it is that snake and fish dreams are accounted for. Finally, the birds, insects, and smaller animals came together for a like purpose, presided over the deliberations. It was decided that each in turn should express an opinion and then vote on the question as to whether or not man should be deemed guilty. 7 votes were to be sufficient to condemn him. One after another denounced man's cruelty and injustice towards the other animals and voted in favor of his death. The frog, Wallace, spoke first and said, "We must do something to check the increase of the race, or people will become so numerous that we shall be crowded from off the earth. See how man has kicked me about because I'm ugly, as he says, until my back is covered with sores." And here the frog showed the spots on his skin. Next came the bird. No particular species is indicated. The bird condemned man because he burns my feet off, alluding to the way in which the hunter barbecues birds by impaling them on a stick set over the fire so that their feathers and tender feet are singed and burned. Others followed in the same strain. Ground squirrel alone ventured to say a word on behalf of man, who seldom hurt him because he was so small. But this so enraged the other animals that they fell upon the ground squirrel and tore him with their teeth and claws, and the stripes remain on his back to this day. The assembly then began to devise and name various diseases, one after another, and had not their invention finally failed them, not one of the human race would have been able to survive. The grubworm, in his place of honor, hailed each new malady with delight, until at last they had reached the end of the list, when someone suggested that it be arranged so that the menstruations should sometimes prove fatal to woman. On this he rose up in his place and cried, "Watan, thanks, I'm glad some of them will die, for they are all getting so tread on me." He fairly shook with joy at the thought, so that he fell over backward and could not get on his feet again, and had to wiggle off on his back as the grubworm has done ever since. When the plants, who were friendly to man, heard what had been done by the animals, they determined to defeat their evil designs. Each tree, shrub, and herb, down even to the grasses and mosses, agreed to furnish a remedy for one of the diseases named, and each said, "I shall appear to help man when he calls upon me in his need." Thus did medicine originate, and the plants, every one of which has its use if we only know it, furnish the antidote to counteract the evil wrought by the revengeful animals. When the doctor is in doubt what treatment to apply to the relief of a patient, the spirit of the plant suggests to him the proper remedy. And this is one account of the origin of disease and medicine that is shared through the knowledge of the solid, the Cherokee. Now, what we're going to do for the rest of today, and then probably a couple times, is to actually go through and look at the significant statements that are within the story, because there are several. Let's start with the first one, and this may be as far as we get. In the old days, quadrupeds, birds, fishes, and insects could all talk, and they and the human race lived together in peace and friendship. Okay, so that's the four-leggeds, the birds, the fishes, the insects. In fact, because of a telepathic harmony, we could understand all of our relatives, including even the stones and the crystal. We could hear the voice of the waters. We could hear the talking of the leaves of the trees. It wasn't just the animals that we were in communication with. And this time period represents prehistoric, which I call mythical or mystical time. This doesn't mean it's less real than historical time. It means that it is prehistorical. It is before the period of time when we considered what we wrote down to be as important or more important than what we experience in day-to-day life. And this in itself is a very important concept to consider, especially since the prophets and the direction of life nowadays is going post-historical. And this is being transformed even by things like social media, that we're actually past what we call normal historical era, and we've moved into even what they're calling a post-modernist type of area. In other words, we're moving back into the realm of imagination, and this is being pushed forward by earth changes. And so there was a time when we could communicate animals, we could communicate with the plants and the trees, we could communicate with every single other human being because it was beyond language. It was because our hearts were all in harmony with the earth, and our hearts were in harmony with the heartbeat of the sky. And when we are this way, even today, we can hear the voices of all our relatives. And if you check back in some of the archives, I've discussed this topic before about how when we hold our original innocence and we practice goodness in life, we practice good mind, and we're out in nature and we feel the natural rhythms, and we hold our integrity to not allow any to be free of any codependence, burden our emotions or our minds. We stay physically fit so that all the cells in our body are working together in harmony, and then we have these natural gifts of telepathy, of understanding, of empathy, of compassion. And so this is a first installment on the origin of disease and medicine brought to us through the Cherokee Nation. We give thanks to James Mooney, and we will be discussing this topic more. And as for now, get back out in nature and remember who you are.
Nature is calling. Mahalo, Pathfinder. Mahalo for tuning in to Aloha Healers Network on Blog Talk Radio. We love that we connect in this way with you, and it is very special to us. Thank you from both of us. And if you or a loved one are looking for more intensive recovery in a personal way for detox, TBI, pain management, addiction, and 12-step help, please visit purerecoveryca.com. That's purerecoveryca.com. And you will get the best help with Aloha. And we close Aloha Healers Network with the five Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worries. Today, I'm thankful and give thanks for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. I do my work honestly.
Da ku te ki ka wa ning ching te do te ha pi ku te e cha nu e.